Part 25, Chapter 4. For days, Glenn Cannon had brooded over this. His sleep was tortured with nightmares. In his mind, he could still hear the voice of his Swiss friend.
Go on! Go on! I will shoot them down! Keep going!
And then his scream when he was hit just before he ejected. And back of Glenn Cannon's eyes, he could still see the view screen of his friend's body being shot to pieces in the air. He had his own playbacks of the war vessel that had launched those planes, and he had the shots taken of this monster overhead. It was the Terrify class, battle plane launching capital ship, Capture. There could be no doubt about it. That was the vessel that had butchered his friend. He felt he should have gone back, regardless of any orders. The two of them could have finished the Tolnep attack plane. He was certain. But instead, he had followed orders. He had suppressed the urge to go up and destroy that ship, and he felt that if he did not go ahead and do it now, his whole life would be a nightmare. He heard Stormalong's voice in clear cyclo on the local command channel.
Glenn Cannon, you must come back! I order you to land!
Glenn Cannon clicked the channel off. This was Stormalong's own Mark 32 he was flying. It had been in emergency reserve. It was rebuilt for high altitudes, the doors and ports sealed tight. It had huge firepower and even side bombs that could destroy half a city. It was armored to take a ferocious beating. And while its guns may or may not be able to penetrate the skin of a capital ship, there were other ways. They could not follow him from the ground. All other Mark 32s were at Lake Victoria, and here they were only using interceptors. No, they could not follow him. Not to the heights he was going. He vaulted skyward, higher and higher. He adjusted his air mask so it was snug. He was going to go out of the atmosphere. The Capture was swinging in a slow and ponderous ellipse, 350 miles above Kariba. It was 50 miles above the termination of the Earth's atmosphere. It was operating on reaction engines and was no longer simply sailing in orbit. Planes would leave it, streak downward to targets, and then return to be rearmed. One spotted him and dove. Almost with contempt, Glenn Cannon centered him in his sights and pressed his fire button. The Mark 32 bucked in recoil. The Tolnep burst into fire and plummeted earthward like a comet. It alerted the Capture to his presence, and as he neared it, the gun ports winked and long laces of flame streaked the sky about him. One splashed on the side of the Mark 32. It made the flight deck hot. Glenn Cannon danced back out of range. He saw the steering ports of the ship jet fire and anticipated its course. 25 miles in front of it, he began to tap his console to hold his position. It was just out of the Tolnep's range. He adjusted his view screens and began to watch. The stars were glaring bright in the blackness above him, but he had no eye for them. The Earth spread out its curves below him, but he saw them not. His whole concentrated, obsessed attention was on the Tolnep Capture, studying, studying, studying it. The ship resumed operation after a bit, believing his mission must be surveillance, not attack. The arrogance of such a ship was plain. It did not believe it could be hurt. It was once more launching and taking aboard planes.